Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday on 1080 The Fan.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in our numero dos here on The Fan. That's some NFL. We haven't talked any NFL yet. We started with some college football with UCLA coming to Oregon, maybe without their quarterback, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. But as Wayne Cook, who does sideline reporting and played for UCLA, tells us, we don't have a clue. Nobody gets information from Chip Kelly, not even people that actually work for UCLA.
Now, we remember that when he was up in Eugene, not much has changed, I think, down in Los Angeles. And it is not an encouraging note. If you wanted that game to be close, he basically said, without DTR playing, no bueno. And also reminded us, and this is true, we got to wait and see how the testing goes tomorrow. So everything's in the clear for UCLA for that game to take place. You're encouraged. I think the same thing for Washington State, because they got a little issue going on right now as well. But you got to pass your test tomorrow. I would assume they would be the test today that then get returned tomorrow. Whatever the case may be, you got to get the clearance tomorrow before that game kicks off.
Yes, yes, you do. The Blazers made a trade as well. If you missed the first hour, Enes Kanter comes back to Portland. He'll be Yusuf Nurkic's backup center, which kind of, you kind of have to ask this question, and we can talk about this later on because the trade deadline or the free agency period doesn't start till 3. How's Zach's going to fit in with this? I know he's recovering from ankle surgery. Woj just noted that, so we don't know what the timeline of his return is, but when he does come back, I don't know how that's going to work out with him. Maybe they just hope he can figure it out at the four.
I think that's the reason why I liked the Covington move initially, is because it gives you the ability to have a body there if you want to play in a bit of a smaller lineup. And then this is an insurance policy in Kanter, who can be a backup five, backup four. You can play him and Nurkic together, I guess, if you want. You can play Nurkic at the five and Covington at the four. It gives you a lot of flexibility. Collins right now is an unknown. I mean, he had to have that surgery, I think, in the beginning of September? Right when they got back. So you're, just a little over 2 months from that happening. I don't know if we've gotten an update or when we will on his status for opening day and how long it's going to take him to get back to 100%. But now you have the ability just to be flexible from a roster standpoint. I think that's why those are important moves.
So we'll have more on this a little bit later on. You can give your thoughts at the fan text line of getting Enes Kanter back. They still have the mid-level exception. But let's get back into college football. We got a Pac-12 slate this weekend. And as of now, sans the Arizona State program, we don't have any cancellations.
As of now, let's knock on wood.
Knock on wood if you're with us.
Knock on wood, because Washington State's going through some stuff and UCLA is going through some stuff.
Well, let's start there. I'm kicking around this game on Sprague and Line. I'm still kind of figuring out what three games I want. As you've noted, college football is kind of dicey to gamble on, so I might stay away. But Washington State heading down to the farm, and they're taking on the Cardinal, who have struggled this season.
They've not looked good.
And they're not going to have their quarterback, Jaden Delora, who tested positive for coronavirus 19. It's this pandemic, if you haven't heard.
Oh, yeah.
And he will not play for the Go Cougs. And so we'll see what happens there. Interesting note on this, which makes me want to kind of bet it. There seems to be a trend that some sharps are noticing that Oregon is becoming such a powerhouse with their talent.
Mm-hmm.
That, remember the Stanford effect?
Sure.
There seems to be starting an Oregon effect here. And you can look to this year as an example. How did Stanford look after they played Oregon? Awful. Boat raced. Now they don't have their quarterback in Jane DeLora. They played Oregon tough last weekend. Heading down to the farm this weekend without without their starting quarterback.
That's an interesting theory. I did expect a bounce back game for Stanford last week, and it didn't happen. So it's hard just to kind of, it's hard to know what that team is. They had to play shorthanded a little bit against Oregon in week one. And Colorado maybe is a lot better than we thought. I mean, we got to give them credit for being a good football team 2 weeks in. This sucks for Washington State. You never want to see guys go down, whether it be injury or COVID. But you also now understand the notion that he's not going to be able to play this weekend. He's going to be out likely next weekend for the Apple Cup. It's going to be a two-week break. They're going to go with Gunnar Cruz, I believe, who's a redshirt freshman, likely to get the start. Sounds like a big kid, 6'5", 220. He's got a big arm. So maybe he can come in and make some plays. Remember, it was a close, competitive quarterback battle, so you hope there's not a large drop-off. But he has been one of the more kind of positive bright spots for the conference early on. DeLora is putting everybody on notice. Like, he's going to be around. And he's going to be something to be reckoned with for years to come. And that is the only silver lining here, is the fact that at least he's a freshman. This isn't the end of the run for DeLora. So if he has to miss two games, it sucks. It's a weird abbreviated year, but he's going to be a sophomore next year, and he's still got two more years at least to be your starting quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect in this one either, Dirt.
I'm not going anywhere near this game.
And I totally get it. No,
I totally
understand it. I want to see how they look. I want to know if this Oregon effect is going to become a thing, because I understand it. The talent they're getting, four or five-star guys, it's a physical team now.
I think they wear teams down as the game goes on. There's no doubt you saw that in each of the first two games. But I'll also say, if Washington State comes out and doesn't look good, is that because of Oregon, or is it because their backup quarterback's playing? You know what I mean? Like, this will be a tough week, I think, to gauge that on how much of it is a beat-up factor and how much of it is a guy making his first career start.
Another game of interest, USC, who's 2-0. They're ranked top 25, although I think that's a joke. And get this, Clay Helton is in the running. It's very early, but he has been put in a Coach of the Year category.
Undefeated, baby.
Go read the USC message boards on that.
How many undefeated coaches are there in college football right now?
There's a few. Notre Dame's coach is far and away ahead of Clay Helton. But they head down to Utah, who is 0-0.
Yeah.
Tulane is 5-5, and Utah is yet to play a game. It is a wild college football season.
God,
but
that's weird.
The Trojans heading to Rice-Eccles, a Pac-12 After Dark game, 7:30 on ESPN.
Yeah, you remember this was a game for Utah, not this one, but Utah was a team that had the rug pulled out from underneath them on Friday last week. So good news that they're on track to play. That's tough. A tough way to start your year. You build up, you get ready to go. You only got six or seven games to play, and your first two get canceled. I'm excited to see them. I'm not expecting a lot from them. I think we just saw this from Cal this past weekend, that it's just tough. When you don't have normal practice time, you can't go through the normal reps. I'm not going to expect a lot from them. This is a big week for USC. Like, are you just going to be this team that ekes out wins against inferior opponents or gets lucky on onside kicks? Or are you going to be a team with all the talent that you have that finally puts it together and beats a team by two touchdowns the way that you probably should? Utah has not been able to practice and function as a normal team for a month. This is not a game that should be close. They're replacing a lot of talent. If USC is the team that we thought coming into the year, they're going to win this game handily.
Yeah, they're only 3-point favorites, though.
And that tells you all you need to know, right?
They're going to somehow only win this game by three, huh? Utah's not even going to look good, and somehow they'll be able to hang with them, and it'll be like 10-7.
Look at Cal, man. We were high on Cal. Everybody thought Cal's a dark horse, and they might
still
be.
That's not fair to Cal, though.
I know.
I don't like that.
I'm not saying it's fair to them. I'm just saying they came in with high expectations, and they got drilled by UCLA in week one. So I'm not expecting anything from Utah this week, and it's not going to be an indication on how Utah is going to be the rest of the year.
Right.
But expecting Utah to play well and win this game, like, how are you not betting USC -3?
I'm thinking about putting in my spring line.
Like, how does USC not win this game by more than 3 points?
Well,
that makes no sense. They're more talented.
How did they barely beat Arizona?
I don't.
The talent difference is huge between those two programs.
They were luckier in hell to win that game.
They were. Took a last-minute drive. Yeah. Speaking of Arizona... We're kind of going around the Pac-12 here. We got our Pac-12 picks against the spread, by the way.
That we do. I haven't been tracking that because Swigart hasn't been in on either of the Fridays. So we'll pick them. But I'm not keeping track of standings.
I've had a horrible start.
I've
picked a lot of big dog or big favorites, and they haven't covered.
I know I was really bad in week one.
Arizona heads up to Seattle. 5 o'clock kick on Fox. I'm anxious to see what Arizona looks like in a second week.
Yeah.
And the Huskies. I didn't think they were particularly impressive, especially on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
But they're 11-point favorites, and they're hosting Arizona.
I think this is a big improvement week for Washington. I wasn't overly impressed with the way they looked. Oregon State was able to run the ball pretty efficiently on them throughout the course of that game. Wasn't impressed with Washington's offense. It looked like it was a 1984 football highlight. They didn't throw the football efficiently. They got the run game going. I'll give them credit there. They want to be a pro-style offense, and I understand that. But we've said this, and it's been a theme throughout the show. You usually see a big improvement from teams from week one to week two. Even Oregon State, right? I mean, I know they didn't win in Seattle, but they looked a lot better in week two in Seattle than they did in week one at home against Washington State. Washington did get the win. Some calls bounced their way late in that game against Oregon State, and I know Beaver fan is still upset about it. This is an improvement week, though. Arizona, I'm not going to buy into them being close against USC. I still think there is a wide talent gap there. You got them at home. Let's see how good you can be this year and if you're a threat to win the North.
I kind of like Washington in that line.
Yeah, they're favored by 10 or 11, somewhere in that range.
But again, I've been picking the big favorites, and it's gone the opposite way so far in this conference. So I don't know what to make of that.
I think Oregon's the only team that's 2-for-2 in covering the spread.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
We didn't really talk about it. We had Todd McKim on from Cal. What do you think of Cal coming to Corvallis? There's some beeves that might be pretty optimistic given what you saw against UW, but yeah. I don't think we're going to get that same Cal team this week. Could be wrong.
No.
Oregon State could end up covering as a home dog, but Cal going to Corvallis this weekend.
We got a poll question up on this. I think like 95% of people, we got a ton of votes on it, are picking Oregon State to win this game. I would just say be careful because that is the reaction to what you saw last weekend, and that's not the way football works. Cal has had another week of practice, but Todd McKim, who we had on earlier, I thought his line about Rich Brooks and two hungry dogs fighting for a bone, I love that analogy because this is a big one for both teams. If Oregon State is to lose this weekend, remember, there were some in the media that picked them to win the conference before the year started. They're already 0-2. If you can't beat Cal, you got Oregon coming to town next weekend. You're staring an 0-4 start down the barrel. You only got two more games left in your season after that. This is a big one for both. Cal to show that, hey, last weekend was not us. We just had a weird start to our year. We can compete in the North. We're better than that. And for Oregon State, just to get off the schneid and get a win, because the last thing you want is to come in with expectations and potentially start 0-3. You're at the halfway point of the season. You wouldn't have won a game.
Can we not? I mean, the media.
Sure. One individual picked
Oregon
them to
Live,
win.
Yeah. The Oregonian beat writer picked Oregon State to win the conference.
Yeah. Because they did it 20 years ago.
I didn't read that article. I didn't even like the headline. What?
And Jebbia needs to play well. And if he doesn't, make
this
a change.
It. This is kind of it for him in my mind.
I think Cal's going to be much better defensively this week than they were last week.
I do too.
And if he struggles early, do not hesitate to pull that trigger.
I would bet the under. Although Oregon State's defense can get torched, and Garber's was really bad last weekend.
That's true. Yeah, 48. I'd probably take the under too, but 48's flirting with it in college football.
Yeah, maybe Cal could roast that defense. I don't know.
24-20 kind of game.
Oh, man. All right. Coming up next, we have a whole lot more to get to. And we'll do it next. It is 1:14, so we're a little over. We're back with more Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. All right, welcome back in. We get to some NFL. Taysom Hill is going to start in my face.
Yeah, suck on that, Sprague.
We'll see. I'm curious about that. Peyton still won't do it. He's playing that that sly move of can you guess who my quarterback. I'm still not convinced Jameis won't have more snaps in that game, but I will say this.
Oh, you're going conspiracy theory.
Well, I think it's a good way to kind of throw a team off. Not that the Falcons are all that intimidating. If they give Taysom Hill, I'll hold it. We'll talk about that.
We'll get to that at 1:30.
Yeah, because I'm interested in that.
It does. That game had, I had zero interest in that game. If Winston was going to start, because I just assumed the Saints will win. He'll throw like three picks, but they'll win like 28-20. But now you give me Taysom Hill. My eyeballs are on that game.
Well, Kamara and Cam Jordan might not play too.
And I'm just seeing this from Tom Pelissero that the Saints are placing Breeze on injured reserve. So this is going to, that might have changed it a little bit, but he's definitely going. That means he's at a minimum of three or four weeks.
3 weeks, yeah.
So if you're whatever they committed to Hill in that contract, I think it's like, okay, now we're going to find out.
All right. So before we get to that, I wanted to get to this yesterday. We didn't have time. And since it's a football Friday, I thought it'd be good to get to this. GQ did a Q&A with Justin Herbert.
Look at Herbie going viral, man. He's got haircuts. He's in GQ.
Yeah. So
let's go.
It's not a very long Q&A. I think there's like 4 or 5 questions.
He's not a very long-winded individual.
No, he's not. I love the guy, but yeah. So they asked, the first question is, when are you up in the morning?
Oh, okay. What time does he wake up?
He says, day starts out pretty early. I wake up at 5 a.m., brush my teeth, head out the door. I live 15 minutes away, and I look forward to the drive because it gives me a chance to just listen to music and unwind.
Look at you, Herbie. Is he living in Inglewood? 15 minutes? I mean, that stadium's in Inglewood.
Probably, yeah, a nice high-rise apartment.
I wonder where their practice facility is. Maybe he means he lives 15 minutes from the facility.
15 minutes is not enough time for me to really get into an unwind with music zone.
But it's also very hard to get anywhere in the Los Angeles area in 15 minutes.
He's also not a morning guy. He says, I have a weak stomach, so he only grabs a protein bar or two. He then tells you what flavors he likes. Chocolate peanut butter is his jam.
Okay.
He lifts at 6 a.m. for an hour, and then they have a couple of meetings. So usually at that time, he's got enough energy to get through. And then at 9 or 10, he'll have two slices of bacon and three eggs over easy and two slices of wheat toast.
Look at this. Background of the meals. Love it.
Get the second question. Are you big on hydrating? Hold on. Get this.
No, I drink a lot of pop.
Yeah, he says, definitely. I drink a lot of water throughout the day. Normally, it's about 5 or 6 bottles. I try to drink at least one right when I wake up. I think hydration's important. We've done a good job of integrating that.
Is he passing the Tom Herman pee test?
The follow-up question. When you say we've done a good job, who is the we that you mention?
Oh.
He says, the team?
Oh.
He basically is like, the team, we drink a lot of water.
I thought there was going to be a lady involved.
No, she did ask if he had worked one-on-one with a nutritionist. And he said during the draft, he did a food service where they packaged the meals. But he focused on low dairy, low carb diets. It was a lot of protein. Now in season, he wants to maintain weight. So he's in the process of kicking up the carbs a bit.
Uh-huh.
She then asked, what's for lunch?
This is just
a diet Q&A.
Hard-hitting questions.
He says, whatever the team normally caters, so sandwich, rice, and chicken, something along those lines. Don't we have that drop?
I like fried chicken. It's chicken.
He usually says, I stop by the smoothie station so that we have at the facility. In my smoothie, I put strawberries, banana, mango, pineapple, Greek yogurt, and vanilla whey isolate protein. She then follows up. So you're a fruit smoothie, but a peanut butter chocolate protein bar guy?
What?
He says, I like to mix it up, hey, you know?
You got to keep them on your toes.
She goes, and what's for dinner? This was my favorite part. He says, that night after we get off, I normally just honestly stop at Subway. That's kind of what I've been living off for the past couple of weeks. Normally, I'll get two sandwiches. One's a steak and cheese. The other's a chicken bacon ranch, both on Italian herbs and cheese bread. It's been working for me, and it's a good thing to pick up on my way home. She then goes, if you're not grabbing Subway, what are some other things you may do for dinner?
Oh, I love this.
He says, I barbecue. I got a Traeger grill in my backyard, a bunch of Snake River farm meats. Anytime I get a chance to throw some on the grill, it's pretty great. She then asks if he has a sweet tooth. He says, chocolate chip mint ice cream and peanut butter cookies. Although, I've done a pretty good job the past couple of months staying away, probably because I call it a night after dinner. He goes to bed at 8 o'clock at night.
He's an old man.
He gets home at 7:45. He'll eat dinner for 20 minutes, and then he goes to bed.
Sounds like the life of an NFL player.
His life is waking up at 5 a.m., eating protein bars, going to workout, breaking down tape, doing more meetings, eating Subway sandwiches, eating for 20 minutes and going to bed. That is his life. How depressing does that sound?
Well, he's also an NFL quarterback that's making millions of dollars. So
I'm
going to
guess
there.
That's more common among NFL players
100%.
than what you know we may think of living the high life.
Yeah, didn't Brady, I think Brady came out and everybody's been picking up on this for their Monday night game. His bedtime, he says, is 8 o'clock.
Well, and then the season's over in December or January or February, depending on how long you play,
players,
and you're not back till August. So
players get an off season.
Yeah, you get a full off season where you're just doing whatever the hell you want. So you got to work your months. It's like being an offshore fisherman, you know? You go do your tour, and then you catch a bunch of fish, and then you come back and you get a couple of months off. By the way, a note on how to save your big rookie contract, eat Subway every night. You get a couple of $5, $6 footlongs. Well,
instead of spending big or going out to fancy restaurants in Los Angeles
now, so he can get in. You know, when we get tired of the Watt family Subway ads.
Yeah, he could be your next Subway.
Then
he can
be in there.
Why not just invite him into the commercials now?
Just him hanging out with the Watt family.
Well, isn't there another commercial where there's two athletes endorsing it?
Yeah, it's Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers for State Farm.
Remember Mahomes putting ketchup on his steak?
State Farm has the great company, I'm sure. I don't have State Farm. Terrible TV commercials.
Oh. You don't like them?
The fake Chris Paul ones are the worst commercials on television.
Carlton needs to go. Now, when they had him,
those are so creepy. Like he's breaking into somebody's house, pretending to be your dad. That's like a bad premise for a scary movie.
Kevin Love, the Hoops family one.
Okay, that was okay.
Those were good.
We liked it also because Dame was in it.
The other problem is whenever you're watching a game that State Farm is advertising in, it's overwhelming.
Nonstop.
Every other ad is a State Farm ad.
I will say at least they've improved it this year because the douchey agent guy that was like Rodgers' agent, Mahomes' agent, I couldn't stand that guy anymore.
So now they're back to Jake from State Farm.
Yeah, we just have 2.0.
It's Black Jake from
State Farm. Yeah, it's 2.0. It's not dorky, pudgy white guy. It's cool, ripped African-American Jake.
Khakis. Name me a worse commercial than those fake Chris Paul ones.
Ooh, yeah, I'm going to show you some moves. Ooh, yeah, watch this. I'm your dad.
Is
I'm
not Carlton that hard up for cash?
Like those are terrible ads.
You need to watch the Fresh Prince thing on HBO, by the way. I watched that the other night. It's very well done.
Oh, okay.
I think he's actually doing well with royalties, but I bet you that commercial money's good.
It must be.
You know, that guy from Verizon and now he's Sprint. Remember, he was making almost $5 million a year, and now he's back with Sprint making how much a year?
That made good money.
I'll raise you. I don't like the fake Chris Paul commercials. I think Progressive's getting close for me.
You done with Flo?
I'm kind of done with
Jamie and the whole crew.
I'm kind of done with that.
I'm with you. I'm not a big Progressive fan. Just the commercials.
Yep.
The undefeated champ to this day is still Geico. Geico has always been the undefeated. They're one about becoming your parents. I laugh out loud every time that ad plays. Who else reads books about submarines? My dad.
We all see it.
He's waving the gal as she's backing up in the parking lot. Yeah, you got room. She does. He didn't ask for your help.
Do you think? I don't know. I'd like to see Herbert. I'm surprised he hasn't been asked to jump on the Hulu train because every other athlete has. Which, by the way, how much is Hulu spending on athlete endorsements?
Did you know they have live sports?
I didn't.
No, they got live sports.
You know, and I know people crap on him. I do like Baker Mayfield in them, especially the Baker Mayfield not on Baker Mayfield's body.
Yeah, the deep fake Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I don't know why I just thought of this. Did you guys know, I randomly connected this through a group chat last night. The Thursday Night Football stream on Amazon was ahead of the cable stream, or just on TV.
My stream sometimes can do that.
Yeah, I feel like most times the stream is usually a good, decent chunk behind, but one of my buddies who was streaming it on Amazon was like ahead of us last night.
Well,
I was surprised by that.
I think because if you notice, the field sound was dropping out a ton to get all the cursing. A
lot of F-bombs.
So there's a bigger TV delay because of that than usual.
Why can't we just let those fly? Yeah, we're letting them fly sometimes anyway.
Talk to the FCC. I mean,
damn Howard Stern.
TV networks don't want to get fined. Those things add up.
Occasionally you'll get one that will come through and the announcer apologizes.
Usually it's on golf. Yeah. I can't remember watching the Masters who let one fly, but
son of a.
Final Herbert question, then we'll go here to the NFL. Wouldn't your stomach get uneasy eating that much Subway on a weekly basis? Because I bet he's eating there 3 times a week. When he says he's eating it that
depends
often.
Depends on how much extra. If it's just meat and cheese and vegetables, then you're probably okay. It depends on how much of the sauces and the fat and all that stuff.
Yeah, but then the bread has always been a little questionable.
What do you mean?
Oh, well, look it up. I'll let you Google it. I'm not going to talk about it.
I think you're okay because he's probably eating very healthy the rest. He's eating like team-produced meals and smoothies.
He's eating a lot of calories.
Right? Plus, his body is just consuming and processing calories than like anything. I mean, those guys are just burning calories left and right.
Yeah. So Justin Herbert does a Q&A about health and Who's the we on hydration?
My team? I don't know what that question was.
Drinking a lot of water here.
All right, let's get to the NFL. We got a good slate this weekend, some interesting games, and the Saints, huh, in my face, it appears they're going with Taysom Hill as a starting. Let's talk about that. We'll do it next.
Well, before we get to the NFL, I'll pass along the latest Twitter rumor. So NBA season heating up, man. Free agency begins at 3.
Camp starting soon.
Camp starts in like 2 weeks. Season is a little over a month. December 22nd is the opening night in the NBA. It is November 20th, so a little over a month away.
Are we going to be able to go to games? Have they specified that?
With media members? I don't know if they have.
Because like, you're not going to get to go to the locker room, and everything's been Zoom so far.
I totally would if I could get in as a media member. You sit my own section.
I get to sit courtside.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they let you that close to the floor. I think they're going to limit how close you can get.
But if we can get like 10 rows in, that's so much better than where we sit. We'd be able to hear
I haven't checked yet. I'll have to...
Because I haven't gotten an email on that.
They don't send out emails anymore.
Oh, okay. What do they do?
You have to get on the app that they use.
Oh, Slack?
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Oh,
that's how everything gets distributed from them.
The latest rumor around the Blazers, and again, this is just a rumor, but I'll pass it along, is that the Blazers are in heat with Serge Ibaka.
And he's on a plane traveling to his destination.
He sent out a tweet saying, I'm going to ... He's on a private plane. Jason Quick, our Blazer fan insider, retweeted it, and a lot of folks are running with the notion that potentially he could sign in Portland. And last year, for those wondering, he averaged 15 a game, shot 38% from three, only started 27 of their 55 games in Toronto, played 27 minutes a game, averaged about 15-8. But he is 30 years old.
Oh,
what do we got? What do we got?
Okay.
Is something else happening?
We're doing more. This is a bit of the flight tracker. Remember that in college football? You find where the coach is flying?
Yes.
So Quick retweeted Ibaka sitting on a private jet saying, I'm going to ... And his Instagram story was picked up by somebody and he's jumping on a private jet with specific red and black paint. On the side of the jet.
Because I'm imagining Serge does not own a private jet.
No.
So maybe a Blazer plane was sent to go pick him up.
Yes.
What do we make of the Blazers using a mid-level exception if that's what it is on Serge Ibaka? Because I don't know if you're getting him on the biannual, are you?
Well, he's a little older.
He's 30.
He's got a lot of miles on that body.
He does. He's been in the league since he was 19.
I don't know. Maybe there's a way. I'm trying to think. I think you can break, if I'm not mistaken, you can break that mid-level. So maybe you use multiple players.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you want Serge Ibaka for 9.3?
Not necessarily. I think if this move is to take place, especially after the move for Cantor earlier this afternoon, that tells me that they are not very confident in Zach Collins this year, both from a health and production standpoint. If you're going out and getting two different bigs in free agency, one makes sense. You want depth. I get that. But if you're going to have two different backup bigs, that leaves me wondering what's going on there. What's the timeline of his return? And then just not knowing what he's going to be when he does return.
Well, and Serge can shoot.
He can. He can space the floor.
Right.
He shot 39% from three last year.
And we saw what he meant to a title team in Toronto, a team that I thought played pretty damn well last year despite losing Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like the move. I'd like to see kind of the details. If they go the full mid-level, then I'm going to kind of just trust that that's the best that they could possibly do. Again, I'd prefer more of a slightly smaller athletic guy, but Ibaka's a big that can space. He's still an athletic guy himself. I thought he took a bit of a step back last year, but maybe he gets it going a little more in Portland. We see how guys work once they play with Dame. And then you add the Dame CJ element of that of bringing defenders in, kicking out, and what he can do defensively, that might be the best you can do.
I love that we're now at this point of NBA free agency that we're tracking the colors of a plane that a player stepped on an Instagram story and then connecting that to him. He's definitely,
isn't this great?
He's there's no isn't private airplanes that have red or black on them. He's definitely going to be a Blazer. So we'll keep you up to date on that as the rest of the show goes on.
I'm buying it. I think I'm buying it.
You're buying that this move's going to take place?
Doesn't that seem like something you do for somebody? You like send a private jet with your team colors on it? Let's go, baby. This is the NBA. This is why we love the NBA.
It is.
We almost care more about this because it falls into the, it falls into more the barbershop sports radio TV fodder of, is this smart? Is this a good move? We love that stuff. There's no denying it. And we love it more than we do like watching it. I'm in on it, and I'm going to go in and say that it's a sign. We're going to get him. What other team has red and black?
Yeah.
Can you think of another one?
Another NBA team that's got red and black?
Toronto.
But he's flying somewhere.
He's not re-signing in Toronto.
And it looks like
Atlanta?
No, they don't do black.
Chicago?
Chicago.
Chicago could.
Chicago, but I don't know if they're looking that direction. They're kind of doing a rebuild thing. Do they want to bring him in maybe as a veteran on the cheap?
Yeah, I can't think of anybody else. Miami, I guess.
Miami's not bad, but
Miami
I don't,
could have the red.
I'd
black.
Have to look at what their cap space is because they're trying to gear up for 2021.
Yeah, they want to make a big move, a big splash next offseason
if Giannis doesn't sign that extension. Yeah.
Look, if this with this hypothetical move, we don't know if it's going to happen. I'm okay with it as long as there's still stuff that can follow. You know what I mean? Like if this eats up the rest a chunk of your flexibility in free agent spending, and I don't know how maybe Jay Crowder doesn't want to come here. Some of those other guys that have been connected to Portland, maybe they don't want to be here. And you've already had those preliminary conversations.
Yeah,
I don't want Serge Ibaka to be the end of their offseason. That's my only take on it. And it is important to remind people, we're now in a full Blazer segment. We'll get to the NFL here in a moment. We had a listener ask us earlier about the Rodney Hood stuff. Can they use the mid-level on him? So again, the reminder on Rodney Hood is they have the bird rights on Rodney Hood, so they're not going to use an exception on him because you can re-sign him and go over the salary cap. So they're going to finish the rest of their free agent moves. They got Cantor, use the trade exception to do that. They're going to use the mid-level and potentially the biannual or split them up, whatever you want to do. But they'll make those moves, and then if Rodney Hood, you hope, is still a part of their plans, you make that decision, you can re-sign him and go over the salary cap at that point. You got that flexibility. So I wouldn't expect the Rodney Hood stuff to come down the pipe today.
I still think they're going to sign him.
I do, too. I think
he's
going to
come
about
back.
It.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And if you bring Hood back, you think about it that way. If you do not get Crowder, you're bringing Hood back, you think you have enough wing help anyway. If
yeah.
they're using the full mid-level
yeah, you
on
got
Surge.
Covington can play some three. A Hood can play 2-3. Gary Trent Jr. can play 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
You do. You got a lot
Ibaka,
of flexible, you know, flexible
Ibaka,
pieces.
Ibaka can do
three.
A little three, depending
mostly
on what the team is.
You feel comfortable with him and Nurkic playing at the same time?
Yeah, because he's a stretch. Not a lot, but he's a stretch. So he's not going to clog up the paint and have that problem. He can help you defensively on the boards, too.
And Nurkic will go out and play at the top of the key, too. He can go up high. So...
All right, we'll keep an eye on it. All right, we got some news coming out of Washington State that's not good. Nothing is confirmed, but we'll let you know what's going on with the Cougs because a little jeopardy for this weekend. We'll ask Sprague what crow tastes like. We'll do it next. Crunch time on the fam.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Even though they're on pause, they don't want you to stop crunching. So go to crunch.com, take a Crunch Live workout, or look for other at-home workout suggestions. Little update in the conference. As the Pac-12 was hoping to get all their games off the ground that at least were scheduled to take place. A bit of a concern right now. So Washington State was one of those teams we worried about. We mentioned them earlier. So Jaden Delora, their starting quarterback, he was tested positive for COVID. He's going to miss this week and next week. And it was about 2 hours ago, the sign was that Washington State was going to be on its way to the Bay Area. Everything was a go. They're going to take on Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
Well, multiple outlets now are reporting that their plane, which was scheduled to depart a couple hours ago, I believe, has not left the ground. And the flight plan, I think we're just tracking flight plans now. Their flight plan for the charter to San Jose has been pulled. So they've not left town yet, and the flight plan has been pulled. There's two different things going on here. One, obviously, they were dealing with COVID inside the locker room, so there could be some news of tests coming back. There's also, and I hadn't seen dug too deep on this, but for those that are paying attention, there is a curfew in the state of California now where you can't be out after 10 o'clock at night due to COVID restrictions. And you have to be an essential worker to be out after 10 o'clock at night. This game is scheduled to kick off at 8. So there's something now I'm wondering, too, like, is there like a weird gray area there where they're not allowed to play this game because of the curfew? So multiple things going on, but not great news because it was reported a couple hours ago that everything's a go and they're going to head down to Stanford. Now it's being reported that plane has not left yet and the flight plan for the charter to San Jose has been pulled.
Well, that sucks for them. I hope that they can end up going, but that's not encouraging. I wouldn't worry about the essential workers. I think it's made abundantly clear because they want money that they've deemed college athletic players to be essential workers who don't make any money.
They're essential non-paid employees.
Basically, yeah. That's kind of how they've done it during this whole thing. So That's not good news. I was hoping we wouldn't get another canceled game because ASU in Colorado was not going to happen. And this sucks. If you don't get Wazoo to get to play Stanford, it's just not fun for your conference to have that happen.
Yeah, this is it's not ideal, especially when you get maybe back-to-back weeks where the rug's pulled out from underneath you on Friday. Remember, we had this kind of happen at the end of the week last week where you thought, all right, things are a go, and then Utah had a positive test, and ASU all of a sudden had an outbreak, and they couldn't play. So some folks are very fearful that this game is not going to take place. You'll have another cancellation in the conference. And as always, when that happens, you worry about what is the lingering effect because some of these guys will have to miss the game against Washington. You don't want to have to miss the Apple Cup next weekend. So just something to keep an eye on. Big news in the NFL today and begs the question to one Brandon Sprague. How does crow taste, huh? What do you put on your crow, buddy?
A little mustard, a little spicy brown.
Yeah, you got a little spicy on there. The sources are saying.
This is Schefter, yeah.
Adam Schefter has sources that are telling him that Taysom Hill will be the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Not only will he start for the New Orleans Saints, he also says sources told him they don't even have packages for Jameis Winston. Now,
what does that mean? They don't package.
Not even going to use him.
Traditional
quarterback. Don't even use him. Sit his ass on the sideline. Okay, go squint over there, Jameis. It should be noted that Sean Payton talked to the media today, and he would not commit to who his starting quarterback.
We just got this. Bonagura just tweeted it's been canceled.
Okay, officially.
Washington State Stanford will not happen.
Well, there you go. That came full circle in a
scratch that off the old Pac-12 list.
And it's two also on a Friday. Maybe you can figure something out Sunday for Stanford and Colorado to play, but they just play. I don't think you want to go back-to-back weeks. Do you play that game? Do you not play that game?
Does Stanford try to do a last-minute non-conference game? They just approved that.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll keep track of that.
Yeah. Anywho, Taysom Hill is starting for the Saints.
He is, and I'll admit, fully surprised by it. All reports were indicating Jameis was getting the start and Taysom Hill was going to come in with his specific packages. I don't understand what that means. There's not any packages for Jameis. He's a tall Drew Brees. He just throws the ball, so yeah, it's kind of your offense. We'll see about this, by the way. So let me first say, if Peyton truly believes in Taysom Hill, the way that they have indicated with his contract, the way that they kind of implement him and sub out Brees.
All offseason, he was going to be the future.
This is your weekend to show it. To Saints fans, to anybody that questions that move. Because a lot of people don't like watching him. I like watching him play, but they kind of wonder at the timing of when he comes in. Atlanta's pass defense is terrible. It's one of the worst in the NFL. If he can't go in there and torch them through the air, I don't know what to tell you. It's going to be evident in itself. I'm still not convinced he's going to play as many snaps as Jameis. I think if he goes out to the first possession and plays, okay, there's the definition of starting. But if Jameis comes in and plays more snaps, I'm not going to be surprised by that at all. I think this is a way to throw Atlanta off a little bit.
Sure.
We don't know the status of Kamara. I think he'll play, but it's kind of up in the air. His practice time has been limited. Cam Jordan might not play, so that kind of changes things a little defensively for them. But I'm still not in the camp, and I could be wrong by this because I was wrong about Winston. I'm not convinced that Winston won't have more snaps total at quarterback in the game than Taysom Hill. I think this is a way to kind of try to throw an opponent off.
Yeah, the line has moved since this one's announced. You told me that before the show. I think it moved a point or two in favor of Atlanta. So people are liking Atlanta to cover. This, though, look, the Saints are in first place. They've got their groove going a little bit. Remember last year, they went 5-0 without Drew Brees. There's still a lot of talent on this team, right? Like, I think they can beat Atlanta, whether Jameis or Taysom Hill plays, just with certain packages and being creative.
But, Dirt, Atlanta's red hot.
Atlanta's red hot.
I think they've won two games in a row.
Yeah, they have won two games in a row. But if you were serious all offseason, you have to do this. Right, like if he really is your guy, and we couldn't tell if that was hot air or they were just trying to protect him from other teams signing. Who the hell knows what their long plan was there? But if you truly believe that he's the heir apparent to Drew Brees and you're that high on him, we made the point, and you did very strongly in the offseason. Well, if that was the case, why did Teddy Bridgewater start and he didn't start a quarterback? And then we also asked a question this week, like, well, if he's your future quarterback, why aren't you playing? This is a great chance to get him reps and to get him ready to go. Because guess what, Drew Brees is old. And he's going to retire soon, whether it's this year or after next year. Like, that guy is
inching towards the finish line of his career, so you're going to be moving on sooner rather than later. You got to see what you got there. And if he sucks, then you can say, all right, we were maybe over our skis because he looked good in practice.
Yeah.
We clearly need another franchise quarterback. But if you truly believe that he is the next, the heir apparent, you have to play him this weekend and in the weeks to come.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, somebody had said Sprague stole that soapbox. And look, I responded with this. This is a weekend. This is the start to kind of prove people like me wrong.
Yeah, show you got it. Show you're a quarterback.
And I want to see it. It can't just be quarterback runs. That's just not
right.
You're not Lamar Jackson. It's not an effective offense, in my opinion, that's going to long-term get you a Super Bowl. You got to show it you can throw. And I believe it was Kevin Clark of the Ringer that indicated he's got more tackles than completions against Atlanta. By the way, Jameis's numbers against the Falcons, 25 touchdowns, 9 picks. He's really efficient when he plays the Falcons statistically. So, again, I think that goes into we'll see how many snaps. But if he believes in Taysom Hill, and it indicates that he does with the contract they gave him, go show it. This is a good weekend to go and show us what Taysom Hill is as a complete quarterback, not just a gimmicky run package quarterback.
Yeah, just running the Wildcat. So Taysom Hill likely going to get the start for New Orleans this weekend. We'll wait to see how many snaps he and Winston play, but sources are saying he's going to play, and he's going to play the entire game. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. While they are temporarily closed, we'll get through this thing together. When it's safe to get back to the gym, they'll be there for you. Go check out all the stuff they still got going on at crunch.com. Lots to get to in the final hour. Kevin Tye will hop on at 2:30. We will spray the line, get our bets in for the upcoming weekend. A couple more football notes to get to, including, is there a chance of a good game between Indiana and Ohio State? It's the big one in the Big Ten this weekend, even though it's a 3-touchdown spread. I want to start, though, with the Pac-12. If you're just joining us, a bit of breaking news out of the Washington State-Stanford game, so we'll update you on that. And then we'll take a scroll around and make our picks in the Pac-12 for the upcoming weekend. That starts the final hour next on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.